Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jen Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We've got ourselves a schedule grid.
Look what I got.
Coach Where's Mancini? Eric Mangini when you need him?
256 NFL games we've played this regular season. They are all gridded out right here. That means it is officially football season. Yep. I feel great.
Good stuff.
This is exciting.
This year, get more than six games right, okay?
Oh, you know what? I don't. But let's check.
I'm gonna make a list before the season starts of Nick's worst picks.
Oh, let's keep a prediction book. Dusty, get on it.
Go
prediction
Jenna.
Book.
Go, Jenna.
We got a great show for you today. Let's talk some Le'Veon Bell now. He's had quite a busy stretch away from football. He skipped the entire 2018 season and some of the Jets' voluntary team activities this summer. And the bulk of his social media videos this summer included jet skiing, music recording, and basketball. Well, that has left many fans questioning his devotion to the one thing they haven't seen him do on the gram, football. Lev Bell took major exception to this. Take a listen.
Hey, real bro, I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me, y'all ain't, you're not focused. You only want to make music. He want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking that, I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete. Your mom, your dad, whoever y'all do. So if somebody work at Target, do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They trying to worry about what serial numbers coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work, she don't act. She don't do nothing else taking her kids. Y'all think she's waking up singing. So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, oh yeah, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out, getting up these damn steps, huh? That's crazy. So guess what I'm gonna do for y'all? I'm gonna give y'all this one time. Run down these damn steps, look, running down the escalator. That's what I like. I like this, what y'all want him to do too. This is what I gotta do too. He a normal civilian running down the escalator. I'm guessing that's what I gotta do. The normal civilian, y'all just running, working out, not eating, not doing, just working out all day.
I got to tell you, as someone who covered New York sports for 13 years, I'm worried about him with the New York media. If he's already having that reaction to just social media, it's going to be tough here in New York. See, what was your reaction to everything you just heard, that little tirade?
I wish I had the time back, but it's just a waste of time. Like, I don't know why, as one of the best running backs, that you would care what people are saying as far as they don't know what they're talking about. Like, you're an expert in one field. All right? That's why the Jets are paying you that amount of money. I don't see why you'd be upset. But I'm a lot different. I just don't understand people's opinion, especially people that don't mean anything in the real world. And that's what on Twitter, what does Twitter really mean? Oh, Chris Carter, really? Oh, Emma. So I don't get it. I don't get it when you're that type of good at playing the game of football. I don't expect him to be like the normal players, to have a bunch of just football videos out there. He should have other things that he's involved in. Now, as far as him getting back in the shape, because people question what was his overall weight when he was when he's holding out there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, I can understand why people would have questions about that, but he is a great, great football player. And I said this when he signed with the Jets. Let's not forget how good he was playing. He's gotten a lot of criticism. You can talk about his rap career, believe if he can rap or not and everything. To me, that's trivial. He is a great football player. The Jets are getting a great football player. And if they're going to make it to the playoffs and be able to knock New England off the perch there in AFC East, he's going to have a lot to do with it. So to me, I don't care what kind of videos he posts, but I do have one thing. You're not LeBron. And you're definitely not Beyonce. I would have grabbed a few other comparisons.
Well, he went to two extremes. He was like, the guy that works at Target or two of the most famous people in the entire world. Right. He's somewhere in the middle. Before I give my opinion on this, while you were talking, something occurred to me. For guys, when football players get out of shape in the offseason, and this is not Le'Veon Bell, but it brings to the point, it annoys you unlike almost anything else. Because what is your job and your schedule in the offseason? You got to wake up whenever, right? And then what do you got to do?
Work out.
For how long?
However long, probably 3 hours would be the maximum. Lifting, running, everything. If you're trying to do some other sports specific, 3 hours would be the maximum, and you're not doing that more than 5 days.
So the reason I bring that up is if you are doing everything and you are a workout warrior, you would say you need to be doing the offseason. That leaves you about 13 hours of your day to do other things.
You would be shocked at the amount of time professional athletes have.
Right.
If you don't happen to have a family, he's not married. If you don't happen to have any kids, you would be shocked at the amount of time they have on their hands to be able to do whatever they
Right, which is why when guys don't work out or get out of shape, it annoys you so much. Because it's like, what do you got to do? You got to work out 2 to 3 hours a day, and the rest of the day is yours. And Le'Veon's going to live his life on social media, as a lot of young people do, and so he's going to document it. But this is the thing that I just... And I feel like an old man saying this, and I'm not. But, man, stop reading your mentions.
No.
I went to his Instagram. I know exactly what happened because I went to the Instagram from the post before this. And he was posted. There was a video of him. It looked like he was on a movie set. And you scrolled, and I scrolled through the comments because I tried to figure out what set him off. He's walking through the airport on his phone, reading his comments, and someone was like, why are you shooting movies? Shouldn't you be working out? He's like, God. Target this random Steeler fan 78. I'm going to show you. And so he records this video. Man, you do not have to care what these people say. I have a little bit of fame and notoriety. And the level of vitriol in my mentions is off the charts. If you're legitimately famous like Le'Veon Bell, it's one of the reasons I think you stay off it. You've been legitimately famous for 35 years. Man, if you can't be worried about what these strangers say, I know it's hard. But you put yourself out. You can't put yourself out there and then react. And then you're not a puppet on a string. You are giving these people what they want.
Nick, this is the way it is now with society in sports. This is what the conversations we had all season long with Kevin Durant because he's too worried. This is the bulk of what that article was with OBJ, which we will talk about. They are so concerned with what everyone else thinks. I don't know if it's a level of insecurity that you don't have, Chris, or that athletes back then didn't have or that you don't have, but you're both in the minority.
But you don't have to be.
You don't have to, but it is so hard. I think you take for granted the fact that you're so good and not being fazed by what people write about you. It is hard for a lot of people to know that there's stuff
yeah,
written about them.
Yeah, it's hard if you don't have no confidence in yourself.
Well, then three of the best athletes that we're talking about don't have confidence
in themselves. No, but those three.
Kevin Durant, it's totally different. You're not right about that, all right? These are three separate issues. L. Bell went off. This is the first time that he's gone off like that. So trying to put him in the Kevin Durant category with the burner accounts and everything, Kevin Durant, he was basically fighting back about his decision. It's not about him playing basketball. Are you good or not?
Go ahead.
I mean, that's what it was about. That's what Kevin Durant's not saying, oh, people didn't say I can't play basketball. OBJ is typically trying to defend a certain thing because he takes Instagram everywhere he goes. So these are all separate. This is what I'm not going to do. Because I played in an era, I'm not going to be as if I don't understand. I do understand. People did criticize me. I was kicked out of the league. I was suspended. I was kicked out of college. I've had people say the most awful things to me. So it's not as if I'm removed by age. No, it's that I have decided. When I leave this building, I'll go down the street. People will yell at me. Oh, you're the greatest receiver ever. You know something? I know they're not telling the truth. So just like when they give me a compliment, I don't accept it. When people say negative things, I don't accept it. You know the reason why? Because I know me, all right? And that's beyond age. That's beyond social media. I know myself. I made myself into something, all right? These people on Twitter, they're trying to accomplish things in life. L. Bell has accomplished things. Kevin Durant has accomplished things. OBJ has accomplished things. So why would you get into an argument with a fool over something that you're an expert at?
And you mentioned three athletes that we know. L. Bell, I would say this is the first time, but Odell and Kevin Durant definitely have engaged multiple times. But there's also, who are the two people he mentioned? LeBron don't clap back at people. Beyonce doesn't. And I would say the majority of people don't, because the majority, I believe, of professional athletes understand that, like with any job, there are pros and cons. There are an enormous amount of perks to being a pro athlete. Like, I would argue, not the same perks, but there are a lot of perks to this type of job. One of the cons is you are much more likely to have a stranger tell you you suck than the guy who's selling you a car or works at Home Depot or is an investment banker. Like, no matter there are pros and cons of all of it. It is naive to think you can be in American 2019 or in 1999 or any era, really, it's just the different medium, famous, and not have people try to pull you back. And if you are not, my advice would simply be, if you do not have the ability, because I didn't have it for some time, if you do not have the ability to ignore it, then put yourself out there less. Yeah, you can't stop the guys shouting at you at the street, but you can decide to not post on the internet. You can decide to not have a document, a running diary of your life. But if you're going to, you're setting yourself up to failure if you're going to document everything you say and then expect to have 100% approval rating. Jenna, you post the nicest, most either innocuous or lovable things on Instagram. And I would imagine you still have people.
Of course.
Of course. And if that kills you, then I would say stop doing it. Because there's too many people out there and too many people jealous of Le'Veon Bell or jealous of people that are doing what they want to do for a living. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to sound above it, but that is where it comes from.
All right, let's take a break, please. Coming up, why did Odell consider walking away from football?
Yeah, get my mentions. I got something for you. I got something for you.
Hey, this is Nick Wright from First Things First, and you have to check out this website, pristine.com. Pristine Auction has daily auctions with $1 starting bids. Authenticity is important to Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction guarantees authenticity, and it comes with authentication from the most trusted sources. Pristine Auctions are affordable. Most people don't think they can afford this stuff, but it's much more affordable than you think. A Dick Butkus signed Bears jersey sold for just $56, and a Mike Tyson autographed boxing glove sold for under $100. It's quick and free to register. Bidding is free, and you only pay if you win. Use registration code FTF when joining PRISTINE.com, and new users will receive a $5 auction credit. Again, you'll get a $5 auction credit when using registration code FTF to sign up for pristine.com. That's PRISTINE.com.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
We got a great heavyweight battle for you coming up on August 3rd as Adam Kovnatsky takes on Chris Areola Saturday, August 3rd on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Now time for Going Viral, sponsored by Best Western Hotels and Resorts. Joel Embiid averaged career highs in points, rebounds, and assists this season, which means he has spent the offseason relaxing. And if you know the Sixers big man, that means mixing up his favorite beverage.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Joel Embiid Showtime for Mickey Show. And on this week's episode, we're going to be making sure it tempers.
Don't be surprised.
First step, put some grenadine over the ice. I like it extra sweet, so going to be pouring a lot of it. Maybe everything. And then the second step, we're going to be pouring in some Mandu ice. Should be good. And then, of course, the cherries. Can't forget about the cherries. So good.
That would set my no sugar month of July back.
I mean, that would
about 4 years.
Yeah, I was about to say that's more sugar than you'll have in 2 years.
That used to be my drink of choice after I stopped drinking alcohol,
Shirley Temple
until the last about a year. Then my wife was like, "Listen, it got too much sugar in it." But I'm a Shirley Temple expert. You can't use the Mountain Dew. Too much caffeine.
Seven
in
Up.
Going to give you too much charge. No, ginger ale. If you're going to make a real Shirley Temple,
okay,
it's got to be ginger ale, and you pour the grenadine last,
or else it sinks to the bottom.
Yeah, then that's the best way to do it.
I mean, that was too much grenadine, right? It's like two parts ginger ale for one part grenadine.
But you got to do a production note, so you got to ham it up a little bit.
As far as Mountain Dew goes, I know Skip's a big fan of the Diet Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew Code Red is a top five all-time soft drink. I don't drink it anymore. Mountain Dew Code Red is an all-time top five soft drink. I will debate anyone. I have a list of that as well.
Here we go, Jenna. Have you ever drank a Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew, no, but
okay,
my
Okay, so how do you know? Then how do you know?
Because
you know?
I read a ton.
Oh,
it's got the most
read a lot of Mountain Dew literature.
It's got tons of sugar.
Meet a lot of Mountain Dew literature.
Diet Black Cherry is the best.
I read.
Mountain Dew Digest.
Okay, this has been, we're off to a great start on today's show so far. Stories to start your morning. It looks like there will be a Duncan Pop reunion this season. The Spurs announced Tim Duncan will serve as an assistant coach under Greg Popovich. Duncan played for the Spurs for 19 seasons. He won 5 titles, the two. Nick, you like this move?
I love it, and I love Pop's quote on this even more, which is an all-time great sports quote. It's only fitting that after I served loyally for 19 years as Tim Duncan's assistant, that he returned the favor. I don't know if Duncan's going to wear a suit to every game. I don't know that I can remember 5 times in Tim Duncan's life I've seen him in a suit, but he is, you almost never see players of his caliber all of a sudden becoming assistant coaches in this league. I think it's awesome for the Spurs. I think it's awesome for Pop and for Timmy.
I love to see former players coaching, the wealth of knowledge he has about the game, on and off the court, what he could do for younger players. And Pop, man, Pop hires some assistants. Hired Becky Hammon a couple years ago, first one to be able to do that, now brings Duncan back. To me, I'm not really surprised by this. Look at this, his nickname. The Big Fundamental.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want a coach named the Big Fundamental?
Should be awesome. Really excited for that.
All right, back to the NFL now. Some tough news for Melvin Gordon as he looks for a new deal. Reports that he and the Chargers are far apart on an extension. See, you think they get a deal done soon?
Nope. The Chargers ain't in love with Melvin Gordon. Not as much as Melvin Gordon thinks they love him. They don't. The Chargers have other priorities. This is a risky call here when you decide, hey, you know, I'm going to hold out, because the Chargers, for a number of years, it's not the first time they've done this, they not easy to get that coin from. So good luck, Melvin Gordon.
And Chargers, tough to negotiate right when they draft you. First round picks, how many year after year?
Guarantees, everything.
I mean, even a guy as good
as the offsets in the contract,
right, Joey Bosa had to fight him about that. Like, so I don't think this is an organization or an ownership family that's eager to pay this position or really any position early. And because of funny things in the CBA, Melvin Gordon could cost himself an enormous amount of money, even if he shows up for the regular season, just by missing training camp and those preseason games.
Go to training camp, man. Just don't play.
I wonder if he ends up blinking on this one. Financially, it might be in his best interest, because I don't think he's going to win this battle of wills.
All right, to the Cowboys now. Ezekiel Elliott reportedly has not firmly decided whether or not he'll hold out. Camp begins Friday, and the Cowboys have a lot of people to pay. Nick, what would a Zeke holdout mean for quarterback Dak Prescott?
I mean, I guess it would be an opportunity for Dak to prove a lot of people wrong, but that a Zeke holdout would be bad news for the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I have my trusty schedule grid right here. They opened their season with 3 very winnable games. Home for the Giants, at Washington, home for Miami. A fully healthy Cowboys team will be favored in all those games, in good position to go 3-0. Without Zeke, it's much more questionable. So, yeah, wouldn't be good for Dak, wouldn't be good for the team.
Last year, Jenna, when the Cowboys won time and possession, people won't give Zeke credit, but those who know football know Zeke is responsible for that. When they win time and possession, they were 8-0. When their defense stays off the field and plays shorter than 30 minutes, they're quicker, they're more explosive, can get to the quarterback, make more plays on the football. So, man, Zeke, this is going to be a tough one now. This is going to be a tough one. I don't believe that Zeke is going to go to training camp.
Wow. All right, finally, some bad news for an already depleted Patriots receiving core. Julian Edelman will reportedly miss multiple weeks of training camp with a thumb injury. Chris, what would the Patriots receiving core look like without Gronk and now without Julian Edelman for a while?
I don't even know. Like, I'm like, serious. Like, I got the most amount of faith in sports. I appropriate that to Bill Belichick. Like no other coach, like no other organization. But I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I don't know what they're going to do week number one, because they can't afford, with Gronk's retirement, Edelman, their primary slot receiver, they don't have a deep threat down the field. They don't have a guy that's a proven commodity to be able to throw the ball to 5 to 8 times a game. Man, listen, this is going to be a running game, a dink and dunk. Like, that's all they can do. They got to protect Tom Brady. Does he turn 40 what?
42 this year.
Oh, my goodness. They got to protect him. And with Gronk being gone, Edelman, his favorite target, I don't know what they're going to do. This would be some of the best work that the Patriots, Josh McDaniel, have ever done if they pull this skilled group together.
1 year ago today, if we were talking about the Patriots receiving core, we would have been saying, man, this is one of the least talented groups Brady's had in the last decade, and that was with Gronk still on the team, and with Edelman, he was facing a 4-game suspension, but with Edelman, we knew he was coming back into the fold. Right now, without Julian Edelman, they have N'Keal Harry, who's their first-round pick, but we know how difficult it is for receivers.
Yeah, he's going to be a possession receiver from Arizona State, not a speed guy, all right? He's going to be a guy not getting a whole bunch of separation. A big body, typically bigger than what they've had there in New England for a long time.
And anyone that drafts a receiver in the first round drafts them for what they will be, not what they are their rookie year. There are very few Anquan Boldens in this league that come in their rookie year. They're instantly really good. There's Philip Dorsett, who once upon a time was a first-round pick and made, I think, 2 significant plays that come to mind for me last year for the Patriots down the field.
But yeah, coached him from the time he was 14 to the time he was 18 at St. Thomas Aquinas. He went on University of Miami. Has not lived up to that first-round billing there with the Colts. And he is a number 4.
Yeah.
He's not even a number 3.
And he's kind of a special teamer to a degree. And then you go down to Demaryius Thomas. They picked him up. He's on the PUP list to start camp. Sony Michel, who'd be a big part of that running game, he's on the PUP list to start camp as a guy who's always seemed to have some type of lingering knee issue. We don't know if that's going to elongate. And again, Edelman might be healthy by the start of the year, but if they were to miss him, it would be, they already might be with Edelman in the bottom 5 as far as talent in the receiver room. Without Edelman, what do you become? You instantly become, without question, the least accomplished group of pass catchers anyone has in the entire NFL.
What did you say about the receiving corps last year, a year ago at this time?
We had major questions about it.
How did the Patriots do last year?
Well, they won the Super Bowl.
Okay, my point is, the whole thing we talk about with the Patriots is next man up. Shouldn't we have, even though, you know, Brady's turning, 42?
This is the thing, Jimmy. But I don't know the next guy.
But isn't that the point, that it's the system over the individual guys? Isn't that what we've been talking about?
It is to a degree, and then you're in overtime against the Chiefs, and on 3 straight third downs, you go to Rob Gronkowski. And then you need a huge play in the Super Bowl, and you go to Rob Gronkowski. Like, I don't think anyone at the table would be saying, well, if Edelman missed the season, Patriots 6-10, here we come. But you do need reliable people in the biggest of spots. And you can't just, you can't all of a sudden just start cutting off body parts and say the guy's always going to be okay. Eventually, you're not. And so, no, I wouldn't be writing them off, and I'm not writing them off.
There's a reason why people had plenty of doubts about them the first 2 months of the season. There's plenty of doubts about them going to Kansas City. The reason why, because they're not that explosive. So, yes, I can sit here and explain the system. Everyone knows that. They've been doing it for 20 years. But who's going to be the next guy? And to me, I think it's important that I get a sense of concern to the public. I started off by saying there's no coach I believe in more than Bill Belichick, and I'm concerned. I'm a Patriot fan. I like Kraft. I like the way they do things. I'm concerned. I think football fans should know that.
All right, let's move on to Odell Beckham now. In a GQ cover story that came out yesterday, Beckham revealed, among other things, that he had grown so unhappy with football while with the New York Giants that he considered retirement 2 years ago. He also talked about his emotional state upon hearing he'd been traded to Cleveland, saying, "I felt disrespected. Like, after everything I've done for them, this is me being honest. This team has not been good for the last 6 years. I felt disrespected because I felt like I was a main reason at keeping that brand alive. They were getting primetime games still as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people want to see the show. You want to see me play." Chris, what was your reaction to what Odell had to say?
When you're 5-11, there ain't a whole bunch of a show. All right? When you're not a good football team, maybe some other leagues and everything, you go to Major League Baseball, no matter what the Angels do, I'm going to see Mike Trout. That's not the case in the NFL. People want to go see a winner. There's a reason why Larry Fitzgerald, for a number of years, why he not complained about the organization, complained about not winning in Arizona. There's two different leagues. There's a league everyone plays in, and there's the one that the winners play in. And those are the ones you can't, just because you're in prime time, think that you're responsible for that. Odell, just get a grip on yourself. This is the New York Football Giants. They have earned a reputation through how they have put year after year, 10 years in 10-year increments, they're going to put a good team on the field. How they treat their players, all right? That's all a part of the New York Football Giants brand. Not you. They haven't won since you've been there. You ain't won no playoff game there. What did you do for the Giants? You didn't enhance the brand for the Giants. And to think that you did? No, come on, Odell. Like, there's a level of immaturity in his statements that I would have thought at this point he would have been beyond. He left himself because of his conduct. That's why they traded him. He was responsible for them trading him. Him with his wondering eye, saying certain things about the New York Giants. "Are you happy with the Giants? You signed a contract extension." I don't know. Those are the types of things that get you traded. So you should assume some of the responsibility for you not being with the New York Football Giants. And you talk behind the scenes of you not being with the Giants, you wanting to play with the Rams, you wanting to go New England. Yeah, we had those discussions. Yeah, you told me. And then they traded you. Now you're upset when you were talking about getting traded before? Come on, Odell, make up your mind.
I was surprised by parts of this interview, just like I was surprised by, because I'd had similar conversations when right after Odell got traded and I reached out to him, he didn't seem happy. He didn't immediately seem like relieved or happy. And it was surprising because you had told me at the Super Bowl that he said, "I think they're going to trade me." That so he seemed emotionally prepared for it. And we knew a year prior that he had been, much like how Kevin Durant's been described, he's a bit of a seeker, looking for what's next, looking for, you know, is the grass greener there? And I understand the frustration of playing with the Giants and feeling like, man, I'm the most talented guy on the team, and as Bill James says, bad teams have a bad habit of blaming their best players for their biggest problems. I'm sure Odell felt some of that. Now, some of those problems were of his doing, but on the field, no one can question his production. I understand he had a bad playoff game, and he admits in that article he had a really bad playoff game. He's not the biggest reason they lost that playoff game, but he certainly could have helped. But aside from that individual moment, he's been exemplary on the field as far as his production. You can say the conduct on the sideline, the celebrations, whatever it is, but these are two different buckets. And what Odell, even at this age, doesn't seem to fully click in for him is that sometimes, even if you think you're being honest, there is no win in the honesty. Maybe there should be, but there isn't. We talked about with the Eli Manning comments. When is Eli part of the problem or is Eli part of the future? Whatever it was, I remember his answer. I don't know. And that was...
You can be honest when you're in business for yourself, but you're in team sports. You made a choice to be in team sports. And when you're in team sports, you have to say certain things. So, no, being honest is not the right thing.
Well, and so and in this, he didn't do anything that undercut his current team. But he did do, in talking about the Giants, he asked, because he's not a dumb guy, that this is going to be the takeaway for so many people from the article. In this interview, he had, I thought, some incredibly evolved and really smart comments when he was asked about his sexuality in a way that I've never heard a pro football player talk, an active superstar pro football player. But those are going to be lost in the wash because he took shots at the Giants. He took shots at his former team. And it's just not in his interest. the best interest for him, even if you do have things you want to say, is to say, honestly, what happened to the Giants happened there. Yes. Had some good times, had some bad times. I'm so excited for this era in Cleveland. Just to remove that from the discussion. He does not, for all his good traits, he does not seem to have the capability at this point to bite his tongue even when it would help him. And that, listen, if you're gonna, it's anyone's right to live the way they want, but he's got to know that is then going to cause this type of discussion, which I think he wants to avoid.
Right. I think what he wants is a clean, fresh start, football-wise and otherwise. And every time you take a step backwards into your former self, where you used to be, where you had issues, I think that, you're one step back from where you want to be. All right, let's take a break. Coming up, will Zeke and the Cowboys get a deal done before training camp starts? That is still ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, we're joined by Hall of Famer, two-time champ, Isaiah
Thomas.
Two-time
champ.
Knows a thing or two about basketball.
What up, Zeke?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he got some knowledge.
That is
he knows the real Isaiah Thomas now. Yeah, check his head-to-head record against Michael or Bird or any of them fools, man. Zeke's in the building.
You know what this is?
Let me hear.
Anytime Nick acts up, we're going to bring Isaiah in to correct him.
Calm him down a little bit.
Yes. Isaiah and I had some nice talks yesterday on and off the air. Made me reevaluate some of the things I'm trying to put together.
Oh, I love
and that's it. Isaiah threatening you, man. The worst part is if his brother's threatening you and his mama, who's toting a gun.
Yeah, she believed in the Second Amendment.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.